The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He said to Simon Peter, He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said to him, You will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, Not all of you are clean. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, Jesus said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man had been glorified, and God had been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Little quiz for you tonight. What was the second most remarkable thing Jesus ever did? Have you ever thought about that? We probably have a pretty good idea now what number one is. I think we can all agree on number one. But have you thought about the second greatest thing Jesus ever did? Was it raising Lazarus from the dead? Or that little girl? Was it seeing Philip under the broom tree before he was actually close enough to see him? Or walking on water? Feeding 5,000? Or stilling a storm? Was it healing the lame and the bleeding and the blind and the disfigured? Was it turning water into wine? Since my earliest recollections of hearing Bible stories. I've thought any one of these had, at one time or another, been a pretty good candidate for being the second most remarkable thing Jesus ever did. But more recently, I've been rethinking things. And actually, I think a serious contender for first runner-up is his action of washing the disciples' feet. Does that surprise you? Doesn't seem like a great miracle of any sort. But think about it. The disciples have, to this point, called Jesus teacher and friend, but also master and Lord and Messiah. They've been there to see all of those miracles I mentioned before, and lots more that never got recorded. Jesus is truly somebody, somebody big, with power and authority. He is, as the kids used to say, all that. And now he wants to wash their feet. It seems odd. Well, it was no big deal, you might say. Slaves did it for masters for centuries. Think about it this way, though. There aren't many things that are more humbling than to need help. Certainly to have someone who is greater than yourself washing your feet. In our earlier years of ministry, Vince and I shared some of our best ministry moments working together as nursing home chaplains. We were filling out time to make up full time for a part-time community. It was very small congregations. And from working in this nursing home, we discovered early on that one of the biggest adjustments that a person has to make in order to live in a nursing home was not about giving up a house full of stuff or downsizing or even living with a roommate. Rather, it was conceding to the fact that a stranger was going to have to help you bathe. Often a different person every bath time. And it wasn't optional. Now, think about those disciples. You know, if they were in need of healing, certainly they would want Jesus to heal them. If they were deaf, they would want Jesus to give them hearing. If they were blind, they would want Jesus to give them sight. But even if they conceded that they were, in fact, dirty, Jesus would be the last one they wanted to wash them. The act of him serving them, like some, servant? That's a different story. Would we want the great physician to be doing the work of a nurse's aide? No! I would say along with Peter, no, really, Jesus, I'm not that dirty. I can do it myself. Who wants someone else to wash them? You know, in churches, in congregations where foot washing is done as part of the Maundy-Thursday service, and we might do that again sometime. A lot of congregations do it. But in those churches, on those Thursday nights where foot washing is part of the worship service, those feet are usually very carefully pre-selected. Right? If you've had your feet washed, you've been warned in advance. If I said to you right now, right off the cuff, can I wash your feet? Whose feet can I wash? I'm guessing you're feeling really a little uncomfortable in your seat right now. Well, there's a couple different ways to look at this in light of tonight's theme. First of all, I think what it's saying is you are part of the body of Christ. And Jesus says, take care of my body. Now we know, of course, that in the communion, Jesus is in the bread and in the wine and in the whole event of communion. And we're just delighted to welcome these third and fourth graders tonight to that table for the first time, to embrace them as part of the body of Christ. But Jesus says it's not just the bread and the wine. You are part of the body as well. Take care of my body. And part of taking care of a body is acknowledging that sometimes we do need to be washed. And sometimes we do need to be washed in ways that only Jesus can do. That's why we confess and turn away from sin and return to God and receive the forgiveness of God through the spoken word, through the sacrament. Acknowledge that we need to be washed. Because Jesus is the perfect, unblemished Passover lamb that takes away the sin of the whole world, not just for one night in ancient Egypt, but for all time and forever. Acknowledge, turn, be washed, be cleaned. And then, be the body of Christ serving an unclean world. Because that's what Jesus did. Because what do you do if you are Jesus? What do you do if like Jesus did on that first Thursday night, his last Thursday night, what do you do if you know you're not going to be around much longer and you have to tell the people that you love the most, the ones who followed you, the ones who sometimes make big mistakes, how to keep moving in the right direction after you're gone? Well, that's where the word Maundy comes in. That's not Monday. I, like many of you, I think, grew up thinking that this night in Holy Week had two first days of the week. It's not Monday, Thursday, it's Maundy, Thursday. And the word Maundy comes from the Latin word, okay, I'm just gonna bore you with a little Latin here for a minute, guys. Mandatum, which is related to the word mandate, which is related to the word command. When we talk about Maundy Thursday, we're talking about Mandate Thursday. We're talking about the night Christ told his disciples exactly what he expected of them. But what Christ expected of his followers wasn't what anybody else in the world expects of their followers. If you ever watched a TV movie where someone knows he's going to be betrayed and he's going to probably end up dead and he's got followers, he's going to tell them, get revenge! Get back, get even. Make sure there's payback. But this isn't any other story. This is our story of salvation through Jesus Christ. So what Jesus does in the face of death, denial, and betrayal is make a command to his disciples after serving them. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, said Jesus. That's a big order to fill, but he continues, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. Tonight is, I'm going to rename it, tonight is love one another because Jesus commanded it Thursday. That's the English translation. Love one another because Jesus commanded it Thursday. One of my favorite writers, Emily Heath, says that this is because it's a message we Christians all need to hear. We don't need to hide behind fancy Latin terms. We don't need to check it off as another night in Holy Week. We need to hear that this is how Christ said other people would know us. This is how other people will know us, by our love for one another. She continues, maybe it would help us remember. Maybe it would help us remember not just what this night is about, but maybe it would help us remember what it means to be a Christian. And maybe, if we always had that reminder, if we always had that commandment to love in the front of our head, Christ's dreams for us would come true. Maybe we wouldn't be known as Christ's disciple by the fact that we put a Christian fish sticker on our car or wore a cross around our neck. Maybe we wouldn't be known by what we said about what we believed. Maybe we wouldn't be known by what we voted for or against. Maybe we wouldn't be known by the anger some Christians express on the evening news or the mean-spiritedness others show in their day-to-day life. Maybe instead, we would just be known by the one thing Christ wanted us to be known for: how we love. His command on this night of command was not to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It was to do unto others as I have done for you. This is how the world will know who we are. And this is the most difficult thing he ever asked. Yes, all those who believe in Jesus will be saved. But only some will be known as disciples. Disciples will be known by their love, not just their language. Let me illustrate this with a tale of two women from my past. Actually, it's a true tale. It's two of my aunts. Both lived to be only 63 years old. I loved them both dearly. They loved me. But one was constantly reading religious materials and watching lots of religious programming on the television. The other, if she had time to read at all, she'd probably read a romance novel. And she started more than a few conversations with me with the words, "Pammy, why are pastors so dense?" One always had an opinion on what and who was acceptable to God and who was not. She died having no close friends. The other had a standing room only funeral with wailing the likes of which most of us with European ancestors have never heard at a funeral. And at least a dozen people within my earshot at the funeral confessed that she was their best friend in the whole world. She always had time for friends. One, oddly enough, never went to church because Billy Bob and Buddy Joe and all the televangelists said if she sent in her offerings to them, she'd be blessed. And churches are just full of hypocrites anyway. The other worked full time and still got her hubby and three kids to church nearly every week. Though I won't lie, every once in a while she stayed out a little too late on a Saturday night and they didn't make it. But if there was someone grieving, she always took food to them. And she was famous for her decadent church brownies. I paint this contrast between these two women that I loved because I want to point out, both believed in the power of Jesus. Both were saved by the grace of God through the life and death of Jesus Christ. Both were loved equally by our Lord Jesus Christ. Both were welcomed into the kingdom equally by our Lord Jesus Christ. One was religious. The other was known for her love. What was the second most remarkable thing Jesus ever did? He washed the feet of his disciples. In the face of certain death, betrayal, and abandonment, he chose to serve, to love, to forgive. And he commanded us to go and do likewise. Amen.